Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. A new report from the League of American Bicyclists finds that Florida is improving in many categories when it comes to bikeability. Yet, Florida remains one of the deadliest states in the nation for per capita bicyclist fatality rates, and this rate is increasing. We're joined for the rest of the hour by local longtime bicycle and pedestrian advocate Dan Mosier. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
You're welcome. I appreciate being offered the opportunity here.
It's always good to get a chance to talk about being safe on the bikes out there.
Always.
Especially as the snowbirds come back and the roads are getting more congested now.
Right, and we had the hurricane to complicate things with a lot of unfamiliar drivers driving large trucks in the area.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're talking about bike safety in Florida, and you can join the show by give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Dan, your recent op-ed in Florida Weekly opens like this. If you came home with a report card similar to the one that Florida just received from the League of American Bicyclists, grading the bicycle environment, you would be happy but confused. While we receive a solid B, there are so many negatives noted that it would make you wonder how that B is even possible. Tell me a little bit about that dissonance.
Well, we moved up to 15th best state in the country for being a bicyclist from, I think, 24th in the last study or report. But we really fall flat on our face and get an F minus on the legislation and enforcement areas, and also on the statistics of how many cyclists are injured or killed. So it is hard to understand how that came about. I guess if you do the math, it works out to 15th best, but it doesn't solve the problems that we have.
So what kind of things does it take into consideration? I mean, I'm guessing, you know, we don't have snow and ice, so that makes it a little bit safer.
I think it looks more at, like, in the way of statistics, it's just the pure numbers and how many people are being killed on bikes. And I think that sometimes is an issue that's – I mean, a number that's used a little too much, because there's many, many crashes and many injuries that might in some cases be even worse than the fatalities and affect a lot more people. But those numbers are the ones that we always are at the top in the United States.
Well, we have more people on bikes for more days out of the year, I would imagine, than most other places.
That's usually – they normalize things like that.
They do?
Uh-huh. And most of the studies, they try to put things on an even playing field. We can't really be in the same category as North Dakota when it comes to that for the weather and things like that.
That would be a chilly ride.
Right.
So how does this year compare to recent years?
Well, unfortunately, I guess because the economy, because a lot of this does go with the economy, we saw overall traffic stats, including bike and pedestrian, go way down during the from 2008 until we started getting recovery occurring. But we're back to where we were in pre-2008.
As far as number of people biking and walking?
Well, the statistics of crashes, injuries,
Okay.
fatalities, and that goes for motor vehicles, bicyclists, and pedestrians. So a lot has to do with vehicle miles driven and vehicle miles ridden, more like the driven in mm-hmm. the cars. So we're spiking again, unfortunately.
So our population and traffic on the roads is also probably spiking.
I'm not sure about the population. I think it probably is. I know we're still in less than 700,000, I believe, here, mm-hmm. and maybe in the peak of winter, 1.2 million or something like that. But I think it's more of people have the money to buy gas and are back on the roads again, and then no one's watching their speed anymore because they don't have to worry about conserving gasoline. Mm-hmm. Also, the distracted driving has become rampant, and it really has increased a lot even since 2008 in my estimation.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I had a smartphone in 2008. I don't think they were around yet.
Right.
Although I'm not a tech historian. However, I think it was just regular cell phones.
Right. I think we were all up in arms about how many people were talking on their phones, and now it's like, huh. That's like the least of our problems.
Now they're reading news articles
yes.
and tweeting. Yes.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about how we rate 8th best for infrastructure.
Well, a lot of it does look at especially how FDOT, Florida Department of Transportation, has moved forward on the state roads. But I got to tell you, in Lee County, we've got fairly decent infrastructure as far as what's on the road and on the side of the road for people that don't want to be mixing with traffic. But the problem is the intersections in almost all cases. That's where everything kind of falls apart, state roads, county roads, city roads.
Well, everything gets kind of confusing on intersections because, the bicyclists and pedestrians are not going to accelerate as quickly as cars.
Yeah, and the right on a red is supposed to be after a stop. And in most cases, motorists think it's a kind of a yield, and that's where a lot of bad things happen. is the you know, taking the right on a red when the pedestrian actually has the right of way, or is going to be there, or the bicyclist for that matter.
Yeah, people don't seem to be looking out for them quite that much. But it just doesn't seem like it's the norm to see people walking so much in our area, although you do see bicyclists a little bit more and more.
Well, unfortunately, the pedestrian fatality rate is way higher than the bicycle. You know, all things being equal, it's about 3 or 4 to 1.
Really?
For the pedestrians. So they take the short end of everything all the time that we do as pedestrians. But you would think in an area like this, you should be well aware that there's going to be people outdoors on bikes and walking and running and skating and doing anything else. It's just this area is conducive to that. That's not really an excuse for anybody, I don't think.
Oh, I'm not making excuses. I'm not trying to. But, I mean, then, you know, you get more people on the road because we have all of the people coming back in the wintertime at the time when it's not as horribly hot and more people do actually want to go outside.
Right.
So it's kind of like a critical mass.
Yeah, it starts picking up. You know, it's kind of funny. The cyclists I know, especially the ones that are out there every day and just doing it for more like recreation and exercise as opposed to, you know, getting around for practical purposes – the heat doesn't scare them off. They get their rides done in the morning. It's the cold weather that ends up keeping them inside. So, but the hardy ones come from up north where this is heaven to them in the winter.
Exactly. So there are a lot more clearly marked bike lanes around Southwest Florida than there were a decade ago, right?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Is there even more progress being made there or to be made?
Well, one of the problems with bike lanes is that now bicyclists are required to use them. And there's sometimes very poorly designed bike lanes that really are not safe enough to be using and being required to use, that you should be able to make a judgment. Florida Bicycle Association was on duty at the time when they slipped that law in that requires it, and we got blindsided. I was working for them at the time.
What's this law?
Your bicyclists are required to use the bike lanes when they exist if you're using the road.
Okay.
You can still use a side path if you so desire and if it's not banned by local ordinance.
I have a question just real quick before we go forward on that law, because it's interesting to know that. But why do cyclists generally not like to be on sidewalks?
Because if you want to get in a crash, you ride on the sidewalk, especially
really?
A sidewalk as opposed to a multi-use pathway. Because of all the movements coming from side streets and into side streets and driveways, motorists notoriously don't stop at the stop sign and the stop bar. They stop where they can see traffic that's in the roadway. And most of the time, that means they've missed the stop sign and they're already in the crosswalk, whether it's marked or not. And there's where the bikes, especially a bicycle because they're traveling faster than pedestrians, that's where the crashes occur. You don't even read about those most of the time because they're not fatal. A lot of them don't even make the records.
Yeah.
As a crash.
And how about, are the curb cuts kind of not bike friendly too?
No, most of the curb cuts are okay, except one thing that we have a propensity to do here is build the pathways when it's meant to be multi-use. It means it's at least 8 feet, more like 10 or 12. But then when it comes to the intersections, they skinny everything down to pedestrian scale, and you've got all of a sudden, it's like having an intersection of a 6-lane highway and bringing it down to 2 lanes at every intersection. Not sure why they do that except to save money and space, but it's a problem.
Yeah, maybe they're guessing it's just going to be pedestrians. So now let's go back to the bike lane. So if there is a bike lane that's specified on a road, it's a law that the person has to stay within the bike lane.
Right. The Florida Bicycle Association has gotten many exceptions to that rule because there's so many reasons to get out of that bike lane when necessary. But it still creates a problem. Groups especially have problems with that. They really can't ride but single file.
Exactly, yeah. They're not really that wide.
No, they're 4 feet minimum. 5 feet is most of them, but the new standard is 7 feet. Usually they're going to have a double white line in towards the motor vehicle traffic. So that should help a lot when that comes about.
But that only kind of happens when there are new roads being built.
Yeah, and even if things are going to be resurfaced, unless they take some space away, some width away from the motor vehicle lanes, the existing width is going to be what's there for the bike lanes.
Or maybe the left shoulder, if there's
any
room over
left
there to
scoot. Right, if there's a left shoulder. A lot of times things are kind of dictated by what's required on that.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you a question. What are some of the rules of the road for bicyclists? What kind of things are they supposed to do when they're on the road? I mean, they have to stay within the bike lane. But say they're trying to make a turn and there's not a left turn bike turn lane.
Yeah, you can leave that lane for any movement you have to make left or right, for that matter. You can get into the right turn lane, because most of the time the bike lane should run to the left of a right turn lane. But if you're going to make the right, you can take that lane or get into the right turn lane. Same thing if you're going to make a left, or if you have to, if you need to pass, or there's debris, or it's obstructed otherwise. So that's when there's a bike lane. Otherwise, all other rules that apply to motorists that are enforceable, like there's no minimum speed limit, because a bike can only be expected to go so fast. But all the other laws apply, and all the other citations can be applied as well. Everything from running a stop sign and the cost of that ticket to a DUI on a bicycle.
Yeah, I've seen that. And also on lawnmowers, I've seen those too.
Right. Those are – they're motorized. Once you get in the motorized –
those are usually Florida man, right?
Right.
We are talking about bike safety in the Sunshine State during this part of the show. If you spend a lot of time on your bike, give us a call. We're at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Of course, don't give us a call if you are actually on your bike right now. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So this study that we've been talking about, it says that we come in third for policies and programs. What is that referring to?
Well, there are a lot of this applies to the state, Florida Department of Transportation, and others. And the fact is that they have taken the lead since Billy Hadaway, who was the district director here, the secretary, who also had the role of getting complete streets in the bike ped world under control in the whole state of Florida. They put a lot of really positive things in place, and that was no small task to change the culture of a road building organization. He turned it into a transportation organization, and it's starting to show, at least on paper, and we're starting to see a lot of fruits of it coming through in policy and educational programs, the Stay Alert, Alert Today, Alive Tomorrow program, mm-hmm. things like that. And I'm hearing ads. I think they even do their ads on your show here or on WGCU.
Mm-hmm.
So those kind of things, and I don't think it's just pure lip service, but they do have a lot of pressures, you know, on them. There's the trucking industry and just the regular motoring folks, the folks like, you know, AAA and all that want to make sure that the motorists get a fair shake, that are telling them, hey, you know, you can only slow things down so much. You can only make things so calmed because we need to move our vehicles. And that doesn't always, you know, oil and water kind of a thing there.
Yeah, so. Well, then you got the trucking companies saying time is money and they need to move it along.
They're as strong as anybody, yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So let's talk about Florida's place as one of the most dangerous places for bicyclists. You mentioned it earlier, and your op-ed says that Florida has the highest per capita bicyclist fatality rate by two standard deviations. Mm-hmm. Is this rate's going up?
No, this has always been this way. I think one year in the almost 30 years I've been doing this, we fell to second place to California. But in the bike and pedestrian fatality per capita rate, we have always been number one. So it's not really changing. I think overall around the country, the numbers are all going up. So that's the bad news. And like I mentioned, I think it has to do with the economy getting back on track and more vehicle miles driven. But it's just what it is. And again, I don't want to dwell too much on A, danger, or B, just fatalities, because there are so many crashes that involve injuries where people's lives are ruined forever. And you never see that. You never read about it unless you were involved in it.
Yeah, or a family member or a friend or something. Yeah.
Right.
We have a call coming in from Christopher in Estero. Christopher, what would you like to ask?
I would like to know if there's a way, because I've been a longtime biker here in Estero, Florida. I haven't had a car here in college for about 3 years now. I pretty much bike everywhere. And I was wondering if there was a way we can sort of design roads that are already constructed in a manner that would maybe place a wider divide between biker pedestrians and vehicle traffic and even out of state traffic, because from my experience, they don't seem to understand the rules of the road when motoring next to bicyclists.
And that's a good question. And so how do you think that these things can be changed on existing roads? What kind of ways has it worked before? And what would you propose happen?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to the caller. Well, the new bike lane requirements and standards, which are going to be 7 foot, they're not exactly separated bike lanes. They're buffered because they're going to have a double white line, and that should help. There's still going to be approximately 5 feet of space in there, of usable space, but then there's going to be another 2 feet. That's going to change the dynamics quite a bit. How you would keep out-of-staters separate from in-staters, I'm not sure you want to, because they might be better traffic calmers and better drivers than you could imagine. I do driving evaluations for a living also, and I can tell you some of the problems that we all blame on elderly and things like that really don't exist. It's mostly the younger males, and the females are catching right up with some of the bad habits.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad now. I have to admit I have a couple of bad habits, and I promise to be better. But it's just really hard to squeeze more feet into an existing road.
Right, but one of the things that does help is if you can narrow the motor vehicle travel lanes down to 10 or 11 feet maximum, especially if it's on a high-speed road, you probably want to go to 11. You usually save 1 or 2 feet per lane, and you can use that for the bicyclists. And when you do narrow those down, it generally calms traffic, and it does not entice speeding like a wide lane does.
Mm-hmm. And we have just enough time for one more call from Richard in Inglewood. Richard, what would you like to say?
Yes, how you doing? I had a comment. I think the bicycling and this down in this neck of the woods is pretty good. I think the bike lanes work out very fantastic. The problem I see is that people just simply don't obey the laws. Not only the motorists, but I see bicyclists coming up and just blowing through stop signs. I see them crossing mid-lane through lanes of traffic. I see pedestrians just simply walking out, not even caring who's coming and who's not. Now, they may have the right-of-way, but if a car is coming very quickly, that's kind of dubious, and that doesn't seem to matter to them. So I think a lot of the issues can be solved by simply people being aware and following the rules that are already there.
All right. Thanks, Richard. Thanks for your comment. And I want to turn that then to Dan. Is there a clearinghouse of information for people to reacquaint themselves with what the rules are when it comes to bicycles, for not just for the cyclists but also for the motorists?
Yeah, the Florida Bicycle Association at floridabicycle.org is one really good starting point. And also just go to Bike Walk Lee's blog or bikewalklee.org. And that you'll find be directed to a lot of those resources. But there's plenty of stuff out there. And that's one of the areas that the state does excel in is the educational materials and opportunities that are out there, not counting what the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles doesn't provide. But generally speaking, it's pretty good for when it comes to resources.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there for today. But I want to thank our guest, Dan Mosier. He's a longtime advocate for bicyclists and pedestrians. Dan, thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Our show today was produced and directed by Mike and Irie. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1 WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.